The pastor and theologian Reinhold Niebuhr began using a prayer in some of his sermons as far back as the 1930s, early 1930s. And it spoke so compellingly to his people that he eventually wrote it down and it gained wider spread usage. And among the groups that thought it spoke in a particularly clear and coherent way were some of these early forming recovery groups of people who were struggling with alcoholism. And that prayer today is really a cornerstone for a lot of lives. Pretty much anyone who's been in any kind of a recovery or 12-step program, but it has purpose and traction, you know, beyond that as well. And you probably know it as the Serenity Prayer. Lord, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. So what that prayer implies is that there's a correlation among wisdom and acceptance and courage, a correlation among wisdom and serenity and change. So we've been looking at Job now for 5 weeks going on six. And Job has been through a lot. In just the first two chapters, Job loses nearly everything that he has. And we're told at the beginning, God says Job is a faithful and upright guy. So all of what he experiences as loss is in no way retribution for anything that he had done. He's not getting what he deserves. That's clearly established up front. And Job goes through a wrenching process of dealing with the other side of all of his loss. And you've been here maybe for some of these. So week one was undeserved suffering. Week two was grieving. Week three was hope. Week four last week was perspective. Today's acceptance. And then next week includes, among other things, restoration. But Job doesn't go from devastating loss to immediate acceptance. It takes some time. It takes process. And some of you who've done any work or have any awareness of the grief process, and the grief process isn't limited to death and dying. You know, any kind of a devastating loss triggers the same process in us. A move can, a job loss, the ending of a marriage definitely can. And so there are two really preeminent workers in the last century around the subject of grief. And one was a Lutheran and the other trained under the Lutheran. So the Granger Westberg and Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. And each of them have a process of grieving that still holds today. And whether you subscribe to the 5-step process or the 10-step process, they both end with acceptance or some variant thereof. So how is it that Job goes from this devastating loss and all these iterations of trying to understand it to acceptance? We might say in these early chapters, or all the way through the middle chapters, Job is stuck. I mean, he's actively processing in his mind, but he's stuck in this belief that he didn't do anything to deserve this, and God owes him something. And his friends, who are trying to prove their worldview, say, well, they're stuck in this belief that he must have done something to deserve it. So how is it that we get unstuck? It takes something from outside us if we're stuck, right? It takes energy from outside us, and it takes some kind of a framework or structure, path. And for Job, he got that last week when he had a face-to-face encounter with God. God is his outside energy source, and what God has to say is his path or structure. Okay. So it turns on perspective. Now, I wouldn't say that perspective and wisdom are functional equivalents, but I would say that perspective is an essential ingredient in wisdom. And the things that God had to say to Job last week can be summarized. These are the four major themes. I'm not going to redo the whole sermon. But one of these are important. One of them is, Job, you don't know what you're talking about. The second was, you are not the center of creation. You're very important to me, but you're not the center of creation. The third one is, God is in control, but not as closely as we might like sometimes. And the fourth is, life goes on. Again, I'm paraphrasing, but Job took these things and it changed his perspective. It gave him the capacity to see a world in which the righteous do suffer, and to see a possibility of life moving on. And so Job now, in his response to God today, embodies both the serenity to accept what can't be changed and the courage to change what can. I know you weren't thinking about it in that framework, but it holds. He says, God, this was so much bigger than me. I had no idea. Everything is in your hand. I get that. And, you know, I had heard about you, but now I've seen you face to face, and I realize, he says this, I didn't know what I was saying. I didn't know what I was talking about. I didn't know what I was talking about. So Job is accepting of things that he can't change, but he also takes ownership of what he can. Now, the language, the translation's a little harsh. He says, I despise myself. It really should read more like, I take back what I said. I recant. I take back what I said. And I repent. You know, ashes and dust, you know, physical submission. Now, we might say, wait a minute, if Job was righteous, and if he didn't do anything to deserve this, why would he apologize? And he apologized because his reaction to what had happened to him was not the greatest. All right, we've been in this spot, right? Going along, having a good day. Something knocks us off our blocks, and someone gets not our best. Right? No, I'm not seeing any recognition. That's never happened to you like today already. I mean... And so it's the reactivity that Job wants to change. It's his response, you know, that he wants to change. Job is a different guy at this point in the story. He's a different guy. He goes from being faithful and upright to faithful, upright, and wise. Do you think that the next time Job has something bad happened to him, he's going to respond differently? Good chance, right? Well, we don't know, but good chance. The wisdom will stay with him. It will stay with him. He may still be reactive, but at least on reflection, it ought to show a little more of where he is now. So where does this chapter, this episode in Job's story, find us today? I mean, in a room this size, with as many people as are here, I'm quite sure that we have at least some of us at every point of the continuum. Some of us are in a place where we are suffering profoundly and we do not deserve it. Some of us are in a place where we're actively grieving. Some of us are in a place where we're just starting to grasp a glimmer, a flicker of hope. Some of us are in a place where our perspective is changing, where the lens through which we see the world is not the same as it was and not the same as what it will be. Others of us are really in a place right now, today, where we're standing in a position to accept the things that we can't change. And maybe to change the things that we can. And some of us, looking ahead to next week, have already experienced restoration. The beauty of these stories are that wherever we are in the moment, there's something in it today that connects with us, either looking backward or looking forward or staring us right in the face. So I'd said before that Job was stuck. He was stuck in this place where these horrible things had happened to him. He had no way of making sense of it, and just he was spinning around and around and around in his own head and in conversation with his friends. Are you stuck? Are you stuck anywhere? I mean, if it helps a little more, in particular, are you stuck trying to change things that you can't? And by can't, I don't mean you just haven't mastered the skills or learned hard or tried hard enough or learned the right thing or tried hard enough. By can't, I mean it is not within the span of your control to bring about the change that you're trying to do. I would call that stuck. How about there's something that is squarely within your span of control that needs doing for your benefit and the benefit of other people? And it's just not happening. It's on your forever to-do list. I would call that stuck as well. What might that look like, being stuck in those ways? Now, you may have some other ideas, but one of the ways that we try and change things that we don't have the ability to change is we want to rewrite history. We look back at events, recent or sometimes even farther back, and we'll use language like woulda, coulda, shoulda, if only, might have. I mean, we're living, we want to redo what can't be redone. I mean, this isn't like Peabody with the Wayback Machine. We don't get to go back and redo history. And yet, we can get stuck there. Sometimes, we try and change, one of the things we try and change that we can't are other people. Our other people. I mean, once they can move faster than you, parents, good luck. And, you know, how effective have any of us been at changing our spouses, our associates, our coaches, our kids? It's like, we can't. We do not have the power to change another person. And sometimes we'll stay doubly stuck by combining, you know, an attempt to change history and another person in the same sentence. If only you had. Man, good luck with that. Sometimes we can get stuck trying to change God. You see how that worked for Job. And usually this takes the form of some kind of a bargain. God, if you, then I. Fill in the blank. Hey, guess what? If it's a good idea for you to do it in response to what you want God to do, it's probably just a good idea. Maybe that's one of those things that should slide over or could slide over to the change what I can. And how does that work? How are we stuck not changing the things that we have the power to change? Are there things going on, are there patterns of behavior in your life right now that are damaging to yourself and or to people you care about? If there are, you know it. I don't need to enumerate them. And maybe more benignly, are there things in your life that, if you would just do them, life would get better? You know, in the spirit of drawing a circle with me in it, I want to share this with you. My desk is a disaster right now. And y'all are graceful. Like, you know, people see my office and say, "Oh, Pastor, I'm sure you know where everything is." No, I do not. There may have been a day when I did, but that day has passed. And so I'm saying this to you now because I need the structure in my life of you asking me next week, Pastor, how's your desk? We also have the power and the capacity to change our response to whatever the world throws our way. So often we get stuck in a place where we've been legitimately wounded. I don't mean like we deserved it, but it's a real wound. It's not just an offense in our minds. And it's come at the hand of another. And we aren't going to budge until we've extracted something from them. And that is really like going back again to change, wanting to change what we can't. I can change my response. Just because you wrecked my yesterday doesn't mean I have to let you wreck today as well. Right? You didn't wreck my yesterday. You know what I'm saying. So we have the power and the capacity to change that. You know, forgiveness is a gift first to us. I don't have to let it bog me down again today and tomorrow and the next day and the next day. So question for you, how have you experienced this time with Job? Job was unstuck by his direct encounter with God. It will be an encounter with God that unsticks us as well. And the single encounter with God that is most predictive of growth and change for us is reading God's word a little bit each day. And I know when we began this, I encouraged you, just read a chapter a day. It's a 6-week series, 42 chapters. Even I can do that math. And if you've been coming on Sunday mornings, even just some of them, then you're getting something from it. I have no doubt. But if you've been reading on your own, you're getting something more. You're engaging with God in the days that aren't Sunday. And being here today is a good thing. Gathering around the Lord's table with one another is a good thing. Growth and change are more likely to happen during the week when we have conversation with God directly. We call that prayer. So as you've been in this series, how have you grown in wisdom? How have you grown in capacity to change? How have you grown in acceptance? And if you like the movement in any of those things, then keep coming back because there's more where that came from. Amen.